As has been our practice during the season of Lent, we will hear our reading for today, and then we will contemplate that reading in a period of silence. And as we have been moving through the weeks, we've been expanding that time. So today we will have 3 minutes of silence. After the reading, I will mark that silence with the bell and keep it on my phone here. Hear these words from the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generations of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female slave, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Ten Commandments. Ten rules. Or as the practitioners of the Jewish faith call them, the ten words. The thou shalt, right? That's the doo-wop group name of the Ten Commandments. The fabulous thou shalt. These Ten Commandments, we all know them so well. It's one of the most well-worn cornerstones of our faith. So much so that in these books and books and books of laws and laws and laws for ancient Israel, these are the ones we remember. These are the ones we revisit. These are the ones we entrusted to Moses, to carry down from the mountaintop, right? These Ten Commandments. But what are they? What are these Ten Rules? These Ten Words. There's a quote, as Pastor Rory mentioned last week. Yesterday, I had the chance to watch a documentary about my favorite, Mr. Rogers, with a few people yesterday during lunch. And there's a quote from Fred Rogers that goes something like this. Love isn't a state of perfect caring. It is an active noun, like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, right here and now. These rules, this list of things we are meant to understand, meant to know, these rules are so important to us that we talk about them a lot. We rail that not enough people are learning the Ten Commandments these days. We fight to erect monuments of them out in front of our schools or buildings of government. These ten rules. Rules we say either you get them or you don't. Either you are with us or you are against us. Either you are right or you are wrong. This list of ten words has become a bit of a check-off list, right? A list of 10 things that either you can ascribe to or you cannot. But these 10 things aren't just something we sign on to or not. These 10 rules aren't just rules. These 10 words are there to guide our lives. These 10 words are not simply ideas. These 10 words are things we must do. When my son Bror was a little kid, he's still pretty little, even though he's tall, when he was really little, and only had a handful of words, when we would get ready to go do something, something he was excited about, maybe we were walking together towards the playground, I'd say to him, okay, are you ready? And he would say, let's do it, action, and take off running for the playground. We'd say, okay, bud, you got to get your shoes on so we can go, let's do it, action, and he'd go put the shoes on. I'd say, bro, are you ready to go have some fun? Let's do it. Action. That's what he would say. Now, Emily and I both can figure out where the let's do it part comes from. That's something we probably said often. Me especially would probably say, all right, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Where he found action is beyond us. We have no idea where that came from. But it became his cry to do, right? These 10 words, the thou shalt, right, oftentimes feel like a long list of things we're not supposed to do, right? You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's stuff. But these rules, these 10 words, are not simply restrictive to how we should behave, but prescriptive. They are there to show us how to behave, right? Not how to mind our P's and Q's and do what's right, but how to love one another. Martin Luther uses my favorite phrase in almost all of his theology in the Small Catechism when discussing the Ten Commandments. He defines them, answering that great question, what does this mean? He includes two very special words, but instead. Thou shalt not murder, but instead you shall seek to preserve life. Thou shalt not commit adultery, but instead maintain a loyal, loving, and respectful relationship with your spouse. Thou shalt not steal, but instead seek to help your neighbor protect their things. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, but instead be honest in all of your dealings. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house, wife, slaves, livestock, or anything that belongs to your neighbor, but instead prize what you have and help them to do the same. These rules are there to guide our lives. They show us how to live and love our neighbors. And they also show us how to love our God. They remind us that love is an action, that faith is an action. Love is not something we simply feel. Love is something we do. Faith is not something we achieve or have, but something that we practice. Love for our neighbors and love for our God, faith in our God and trust in our community. These are things that require work, that require us to do, not just feel. Act, not just have. These 10 words are powerful words, not simply because they tell us who is right and who is wrong, who has faith and who does not. These 10 words are here as one of my favorite Luther Seminary professors used to say, these 10 words, this law is there. It is the way God creates a trustworthy world with us. The way God says, I am God, I love you, I provide for you. Trust in that and love one another. It's a wonderful thing to feel love. It's a wonderful thing to have faith. But it's even more wonderful to do love, to do faith. Let us go out and do it. Let's do it. Action. Amen.
My heart.